Hey guys, welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. What's special about this episode is this is the first podcast we're recording in our new studio.
That's right.
Now, we're not actually in the studio. We're sitting at the bar at our studio, which is arguably better.
It's way better.
Yeah, right by the fridge.
So our actual studio is not finished.
It's still under construction.
Yeah, we're still working. It's closed. Like, it's unframed. Eric worked on drywall on the ceiling before we started here. But the studio, the current active studio at my house, is tore apart with just all sorts of stuff, getting ready for this bear hunt that we're actually actively hunting now, if you're listening to this.
Oh, hopefully you guys got something.
Yeah, hopefully we killed something, huh? But we're in our building. So if there's a slight echo, it's because we're out in the open. There's nothing on the walls yet. We have we're so white. Like, we have the bar. There's a whiskey shelf and there's whiskey on it.
It's crazy that the bar was the first thing we built.
You know, I was talking to Jeremy from Buckstorm, and he was like, it's funny you guys build this studio and the first thing that's complete is the bar.
Oh, yeah.
So we're sitting at our bar having a couple of lining Kugels, some Liney right. Original. And we're going to talk a little bear hunting. We're going to talk a little turkey, and we're going to talk some shit with Clint Kasberg. He's going to call in here. I want to get through some business. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Super thankful for that partnership. And by the way, all these partners had something to do with our growth and some of the success we've had, enough to basically help us buy a building. And you guys are also probably the main factor more than our partners are. The partners.
Absolutely.
Gave us a chance and helped us get exposure, and we're forever grateful. So I got to say that going into this. Just thankful for every partner. Elite Archery, Big Time, Spy Point, new to the crew for WCB, Rogue Ridge, E-Bikes, Scent Crusher, Old Barn Taxidermy, Gator Outdoors. Most of these companies have been with us for years now. Mm-hmm. And in the newer partnerships, they're newer partnerships because it's something either we believe in, we liked, or we've been using it. Or it's good people. Good people matters just as much as the product.
And we've always said that from the beginning, too, that we're not going to be sponsored by a product that we don't trust and would use ourselves also.
Well, it sucks to get cornered
right.
by somebody if yeah. we were not authentic about like what our partners were. And we were like, oh, that's a check. We just need to get a sponsor to take a sponsor. And then someone's like, oh, how do you like this? And in your head, you might actually hate it. And then you're like, then you're stuttering and you just seem like a dick, or you right. just seem like, oh, the guy's all about that. That's not true. That's why if you look at it, all our partnerships make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it makes sense for something we need because we like and use it and end up getting one. We were friends with the company or had a contact and got to be friends and believed in it. Like Spy Point's one of the newest partners. That right there is a perfect example. I used Spy Points all last season. Same I've been there. Using Spy Points the last, well, I think this year is the first year I bought one. I've been buying six total is what I'm running for those sell links. And it plays a major factor in bow hunting success, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you can take any old trail camera and turn it into a cell camera,
it's awesome.
It's crazy. And you can get 100 pictures free a month.
Yeah.
It's freaking insane.
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of other cell companies do that. I actively used, up until this year, I've used three different cell plans to three different companies, Spy Point being one. And none of the other ones that I used offer
that
the free plan.
Right.
I mean, it kind of, you know, for guys that can't run supplemental feed, that might be all you need.
We can in Iowa. That's why I'm like, oh, 100 pictures would be good enough. Hell no, I went through that in like a fucking week.
Yeah. Well, you get a stubborn raccoon, you know.
Or 30 of them.
A branch.
Yeah, or a branch. Quick. You mess up. A lot of that's on us.
That
so.
Suck, yeah.
But also, you know, that being said, with those partners, Victory Archery, Victory Arrows, Thermoset, Huntworth is new to the crew, Loophole Optics, Slick Trick, and also new is the man of many hats, Jordan Ginsmer, and his lifestyle clothing brand, Pull Back and Let Go. Great beard.
Great guy.
Is a great guy. We have some things coming down the line there that we might try and do with anglers and some other Wisconsin-based companies that we're going to get to. There's some announcements in the works, some things we're trying to do to kind of include some of our listeners.
It'd be refreshing.
It'd be so refreshing.
Delicious.
The most delicious. and we'll get to that. We're just excited. We're kind of giddy sitting here at the bar. It's fun. We got new equipment, new mobile equipment that we yeah. upgraded to. The reason why we're here at the studio is the other studio, of course, I said is tore apart, but we're testing this for the hunt we're on right now actively while you're listening to this. So make sure the equipment works for you. Just dive bomb to the backcountry of Wyoming and have a failure.
And let's be honest, we just want to record at the bar, too.
I mean, yeah. Look at, hey, us. Look at us at the bar.
Slide me a line in Kugels, will you? Yep.
You got to open it first, then slide it.
Yeah, our bar might be past that test. We did a pretty good job.
There's no speed bumps in it, so.
We did. So we did this, it's like butcher block bar top, and we did like a, what's it called?
Epoxy.
Yeah, it's like an like bar top coating or whatever. Yep. And I was telling a guy at work today about it, and he's like, yeah, I just did those butcher block countertops at my house, and I'm going to do the epoxy to it as well. And I was like, all right, listen up. Like, you have to follow the directions.
Oh, yeah, you have to.
And I think I scared him. He's like, ah, shit, I'm scared now. I don't even want to do it. I'm like, just have, like, four guys to help
you.
Yeah,
don't do it by yourself either.
Yeah. Because you can fuck it up real fast.
Oh, yeah. Fast. So we did pretty damn good.
Make sure you get the bubbles out, too.
For some drunk idiots, we did pretty good. Well, what do you say? Well, you got a vet shout-out pulled up, Doug?
I do. The vet shout-out is brought to you by Operation HHA USA. Go to HHAUSA.org.
Shout-out to them. I guess they got a podcast coming.
What?
HHA USA does, yeah. Chris.
Good for them. Their mission is to show appreciation and create a sense of community for veterans and active military through archery and the outdoors. This submission was – this veteran shout-out submission was submitted by Tom Swanson.
By the way, Doug's been working on his Hooked on Phonics.
Yeah, dude. It's been rough.
Hooked on Phoenix?
Yeah.
Phoenix.
The veteran is Alex Niehaus. He's in the Army National Guard. It says Sergeant Niehaus enlisted in the National Guard as an infantry grunt while still in high school. He always craved the camaraderie that the military had to offer. After his contract was up, he stepped away from the National Guard for 2 years. He knew he was missing something. He wanted to re-enlist, but he wanted his job to mean something and to make a difference. He was presented with an opportunity to become a recruiter, and he took it. He did not like his experience with the shitty recruiters in his past and the half-truth BS he received during his enlistment process, and vowed to be better than that. In 2020, Alex received the Rookie of the Year Award for all National Guard recruiters.
Very cool.
Alex has always had an interest in the outdoors and has gone more morel hunting and has gone shed hunting as well. I've yet to get him out to hunt with me because he has canceled on me 3 gun seasons in a row, you little bitch.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said, not my words. I'm reading it word for word.
Hey, this in quotes.
But maybe this upcoming season will finally come join. Alex has been my best friend since high school and is a ride or die type of guy. Thanks for all you do, buddy. And thanks to WCV crew for using this platform to highlight those who serve. Tim.
Very cool.
Very awesome.
Thank you for your service, man. Hey, go gun hunting with your buddy.
Yeah. Go be a little bitch.
Hey,
that was me.
Hey, that was your words. That was your words this time.
That's funny. Hey, we can do. You like that?
There you go.
Thanks for your service, Alex. Thanks for submitting that, Tim.
Thanks, Alex, for your service, man. Appreciate you. What do you say we cut out for a sec, get Clint Casper on, and just have him yell at us for about an hour?
Yeah, the wild child.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Kurt Geyer. There's
Eric Hammond.
There's
Doug Schmidt.
And on the phone,
Clint Casper.
What's up, dudes? What's up, Clint? First of all, it's been
a while. Oh, fuck, I know, fellas. Feels good to be back on the podcast with you guys.
Yeah,
I feel like I've seen you a lot this spring, more than normal, but it just hasn't been like normal podcasting for us.
Right? No, it has not. And people are wondering where you've been. First of all, I think you need a moment to kind of like say where you've been, because you've been like ghosted on social media.
Well, I mean, I took a missions trip to Africa. I gave up hunting for a while, and then good. I decided that, good. No, actually, I'm pretty sure Instagram fucking banned me. And I'll tell you who it's over. Freaking TNK, that ass hat. So I'm pretty sure they took me serious, because me and him go back and forth. For people that don't know, I love everybody over at TNK. I'm running their vinyl art. Like, I'm running all their stuff this year. Absolutely love it so far. Super dope harness. Super pumped and excited to be kind of partnered up with those guys. But, like, me and him will go back and forth. Like, and
as
people,
a joke.
It's as a joke. And people will message him and be like, dude, why is Clint such a dick? Like, why does he call I call his bino harnesses bino purses. I'm like, who the hell would want to buy your stupid vinyl purse? They're junk. They're made in China. You slap a USA sticker on it, and you say it's made here. And like, you're not fooling anybody. Well, I literally think it's either his fault, it's either Tyler's fault, or it's Joe over at Big Tide's fault, because I got into it with an asshat that was making fun of Big Tide.
Oh, I'm dude, you're sure right. You're right, because yeah, we were all on that thread.
Well, I went kind of ham on him, and I was joking around, but I made fun of him in a paragraph. Like, I bashed him about 8 times, and I noticed he blocked me immediately, and then about 2 days later, I have not been able to get on Instagram for like 30 days, and I've basically done everything you can do. So I'm like, well, shit.
That had to have been it.
So that's what I'm thinking. So, like, I'm thinking because of bullying guidelines. So just for anybody out there, like, I mean, number one, you probably shouldn't take me all that serious on social media if you haven't already noticed. Number two, I mean, if I do say something that offends anybody, like, just tell me. Please don't go black me or say I bullied you. Like, just be like, hey, dude, I think you're a fucking asshole. I'll be like, you know what, man? Probably am. I'll buy you a beer if I see you around. If not, like, good luck hunting this year. Hey, you're right. Like, it's fine, you know? Like, good luck hunting this year, dude. That's we support you. Like, we're glad you support the podcast. Thanks.
Well, I had to give you, like, the platform to clarify, because I had people asking me where you were and what's going on.
I just got back on Instagram, so, like, 3 days ago. I had 178 direct messages, and 90% of that was, why aren't you talking to me anymore, or why are you ignoring me, or did you die? Everything good? You still alive, bro? Like, I'm just like, you know, I'm like, damn, like, it sucks. So I've been trying to get back to people. You know, I'm going to put a post out tonight with the old turkey kill. It'll be my first post in a while, so it's kind of like it's almost like starting all over again. I got to, like, pop the cherry on Instagram again.
I love it.
Hey, at least everyone's kind of worried about you and checking up on you.
They're not like, thank God that guy's gone.
Right.
I'm sure some people were.
That's what I was.
I was going to say, I mean, realistically, Doug was like, well, I guess this kind of means Whitney and I are pretty much not kind around. Of I mean, there's really no point. Like, I may as well be like, hey.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm making Play-Doh snakes over here.
But you know what? I'm excited. I'm excited for you to see our new studio, man. We're at the bar right now.
Oh, dude. I'm so pumped about that, man. So pumped. I cannot wait to get over there for the shoot. Hopefully this weekend for Memorial. Like, oh yeah, man, I'm stoked. Yeah, I definitely super pumped to see it. I mean, I get to see pictures every day, and you guys have done a good job keeping us all updated. And I kind of get the inside scoop before everybody else, just being in the circle. And it's, oh man, what you guys have done is, whew. People are gonna literally shit.
Before we hit the record button, we're all Eric. I do it a lot. I feel like openly, because this building's like keeping me happy, but. Mm-hmm. Before Eric's like, dude, we're recording in our own fucking building. How crazy is this?
It's surreal.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It is nuts. I can't wait to like actually, because I'm like looking into where we will do all the future podcasts now, but like we're sitting at the bar. Like we have the option to do this sort of thing. And it might sound a little echoey now, but we don't have any deer heads in here yet. And we have a lot of deer heads to hang and a lot of stuff to absorb sound. But once we have all that, it's going to be, if we want to switch it up, we can record at the bar like we're doing now and just.
And once the new studio's done, we insulated the fuck out of it, so it's going to be dead as shit for sound-wise.
You could hear a mouse fart in there.
You could hear an ant fart in there.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I've always wanted to break people's eardrums on a podcast. This is going to be my chance.
Oh, it will be. But good thing we're going to have like limiters and stuff set up. We ordered all new recording equipment, everything. So
we have Clint on.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, you guys always find a way to piss on my fucking parade. That's awesome. Good.
Yeah.
Great. Yep. New equipment. Limiters.
We'll call them Clint limiters.
I was going to say, yeah, we'll call them the Clint limiter. The Clint limiter 5000. You can even dim down his loud ass.
I saw someone made a comment on, they're like, yeah, when's Clint coming back? And someone's like, I can't wait for Clint to yell at us through the phone for an hour.
There was another one on there that said, why is he not screaming in this photo? I fucking wrecked my track. I was planting beans, and I was going out across this field, and I had the drill up, and I literally, dude, about fucking wrecked. Whenever I read that, I was laughing so hard. I was like, Jesus, that's funny.
So true. So we wanted to do this podcast because we're going to be in the mountains of Wyoming when this launches.
As we speak,
we're in the mountains somewhere. But it sucks that you can't come this year, Clint, but you were there last year, and then the article in Peterson's that you wrote about the trip just came out last month, which is even cool. I got it all framed up, and I just got my bear mount back Monday night.
Oh, it looks so good, dude. That bear looks so freaking – like, dude, I mean, that was one of the highs of probably – the last 10 years of bow hunting for me, like was you killing that bear, man. Like, and to see that mount, how good has that come out? Like, oh, fuck, dude, that thing looks so, like, I was so pumped for you to kill it, but I might even be more pumped about seeing that mount, dude. Like, it looks so freaking good, man.
Oh, it's beautiful. Doug got to see it today.
Yeah, it's badass.
Oh, yeah, dude.
It turned out really good.
That boar was so pretty, man. Like, just, oh, yeah, you couldn't have asked for a better deal with that.
It's a good reminder, not to fuck with bears.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, people weigh it in like an 80-pound dog is big.
Oh, yeah.
And the 80-pound dog can fuck you up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, you know, I think people who are experienced with bears don't appreciate all levels of bears, which I get.
Yep.
You know, if you're a guy who constantly kills like 500-pound giant Canadian slobs, like it's hard to appreciate like a 300, 350-pound bear like what I shot.
Oh, yeah.
But you look at imagine a 300-pound dog.
Yep.
Fuck.
You're
well, dude, I mean, 300-pound
cat.
Dude, I don't want to think about that. That's scarier.
Prime example today, like, I'm going to check an oil well, and literally I see this cat, just a regular house cat, sneaking up on this rabbit. I'm like, oh, cool as shit. So I, like, shut my truck off. I'm like, oh, man. Oh, now, man. This cat's not very big. I mean, the cat, honestly, is not much bigger than this rabbit. And I'm like, well, this will be kind of interesting, because I'm like, realistically, there's not a huge difference in size here, and rabbits are strong. I mean, back legs especially. So the rabbit's just feeding along, facing away. Freaking cat comes up, dude. He's sneaking. I'm like, look at this fucker. I'm like, he's going for it. Now I'm like, I'm all intrigued. I'm like, you know, am I rooting for the rabbit to get away? Am I rooting for the cat? Like, I haven't decided yet. All of a sudden, dude,
you're dedicated.
We fucking spring into action. Rabbit takes off. I'm like, cat's never gonna catch him, dude. He hits another gear. Rolls this fucking rabbit, and dude, I couldn't believe it. Held the fucking rabbit down, chokes him out. It's over, dead.
He's Kills over.
Him. Did he eat him right it's there, done. Or did he like try to drag him off?
Nope. Then he turned around and saw me and like freaked out, but the rabbit's dead as shit. So I like drive up, I'm looking, and he like bit him two different times in the neck. But he took his claws and wrapped in around like the bottom of his belly.
It kicked him.
Like, and literally, dude, as he was biting him, he was taking all four paws and ripping his insides were basically coming out the bottom of him. Like that cat was either going to kill him from that, or he was going to kill him from like a cougar would go after a mule deer. It's going for the neck.
Right.
And I'm looking at him like, that's fucker. Like, I mean, he had a plan for sure. He was latching on. And he was going to use every claw, every tooth, everything he had to kill that rabbit.
That's what scares me fucking so bad savage. About like getting attacked by a mountain lion. You know, like, I mean, my cat, you grab it, you know, it grabs hold of your hand and then does that like, like that kick with the back legs like you're talking about. That's what a mountain lion's going to do to you.
I mean, if you think about it, a house cat could fuck you up.
If it wanted to.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely.
Dude, my house cat weighs 12 pounds. You can't hold that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Down.
My house cat's like 20 pounds.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, dude. That's a big house cat. Well, and here's the deal. People always ask me, like, why? Like, because I always say I'm afraid of lightning, or I wouldn't want to run into a pack of wolves. Like, they're like, ghost. How are you not afraid of a fucking lion? I'm like, there's no point, because you're never going to know. If it decides it's going to hunt you down, number one, you will never know it's there. It'll jump on you. It's too late. You're not even going to realize what happened. It's going to snap your neck from just the impact, and then it's going to sink its three-inch freaking front teeth into you. I mean, it's going to be over. Like, I don't even – if I go out with a lion, it was just meant to be. That's how I go out.
That's probably best case scenario. I feel like a bear would just chomp on your bones, and then you're fucked.
Well, and bears will play with you. I mean, like, they'll fucking roll you. They'll slap you around. Yeah, I mean, well, and a lot of times they don't even want to kill you.
Catch these hands. I'd fuck a bear
up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, I would not.
Yeah, I would fuck a bear up. That's funny.
Huh?
You get a punch in.
Get one punch in and miss.
Yeah.
Do you like the Three Stooges thing, like to the eyes?
The bear's got little eyes as it is anyway.
Well, you guys remember the guy that got rolled two different times on his way out from scouting an elk unit out in Montana a couple years ago.
So I remember you talking about this, Clint, about you and Barney were in that same area hunting or something.
We are literally in this canyon. That following spring, we're in the canyon. This just happened 6 months ago. And I'm talking about this guy. And Brian's like, oh, yeah, I shoot with him at the archery league. He's like, man, it's crazy. His story's crazy. I'm going to have him on the podcast. I'm like, yeah, it's cool. About an hour later, he goes, hey, you remember that bear attack or what's his name gets hit twice? I was like, yeah, dude. I was like, man, I still have that image in my head. I'll never forget it. The first time I saw it, the blood running down his head. He's filming himself. It's all over the news. Like, I remember where I was at, like, when I first saw that on the news. Brian's like, yeah, dude. He's like, literally, he's like, we just walked on the trail. He got rolled the first time on. And I'm like right here. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, he walked out this path and somewhere between here and our trucks where he got rolled the second. I'm like right here. He's like, yeah, like right here. And I'm like, what the fuck are we? And he's like, oh yeah, it's loaded with grizzlies in here. He's like, it ain't no big deal. He's like, it'll be fine.
That's
and
no
like,
big
so
deal.
We ended up seeing, we saw a breeding pair. We saw a boar and a sow that next day about a mile down the drainage. And that's the first I had been in contact with grizzlies like in the wild like that. And, oh, dude, fuck. It's like a house that's pissed off with teeth and claws. Yeah, like you don't want to fucking, yeah, you don't want to fuck with
so
them.
It's a fucking like a van. Dump truck.
Yeah, no,
yeah, I was going to say, it's like a fucking van that's truck. Pissed off. Yeah, you just don't want to. Well, yeah, like I was right there where that dude got rolled twice. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Super cool dude. Great guy. Hell of a good hunter.
Definitely the stories I want to hear right before we go bear hunting.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're buttering them up.
I was going to say, Eric. Yeah, Eric, don't be worried about the bears. Kurt's going to tell you to be worried about the fucking horses.
Yeah, that's true.
That's no joke.
I've never rode a horse before. So,
God.
You should have came over.
Oh, you've never been on one?
Never been on one.
Oh, dude. Yeah,
you
should
have
came over to my house.
Oh,
okay.
God.
My wife asked if she could go just to witness this.
Okay, we need to talk about this. Let's back up, Clint. Let's back up.
Yep.
So
I
had been on horse, and we talked about this a little bit. Like last year, we did the same thing. Like before, then talked about like in camp before when we did a few podcasts. And it is scary. So for someone that's not horse experience, and Eric, I imagine you're going to think the same way I think.
I've been around them a million times, just never rode one.
They're sketchy.
Right.
I feel like they're unpredictable.
At least you've been around them. I mean, at least you've got that going for you because I don't
think but how much have you
really
been around?
Been...
I've seen horses, and I've been like, yeah, fuck horses.
I've been around them quite a bit. I just never rode one.
You might be better.
I'm uncomfortable around horses.
You might be okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, that'll put you ahead of the game just by being comfortable.
Yeah, you might feel better on one, whereas I didn't. The first time I didn't really feel comfortable on it, but I also didn't have like a tutorial. Like Devin's like, yeah, jump on, we're going. And then it jumps a river, and I'm like, God damn it.
It's
not like the fucker has a steering wheel, you know?
I didn't really have time to be like, hey, let me clippity-clop in circles here for a little bit.
I mean, looking back, me and Devin have talked about this, like, joking around, and he's like, I probably should have let you, like, take Kurt up there 20 minutes before we left and been like, hey, man, here's kind of the deal, like,
yeah, give me a tutorial.
Here's,
like, let me.
Here's kind of, yeah.
Let me
yeah,
clippity like, clop we in so, circles. Let me clippity clop around. Okay, cool. Yeah, this horse is all right. But we get on. Devin hops on that mule, and he's like, "All right, follow me." And we're like at a fucking gallop already. And I'm like, "Whoa, all right, here we go. I can ride a bike. I can figure this shit out. All right." And then his jumps the fucking river. Like I told the story, I don't know how many times. Your horse won't do that. Don't worry. It knows better. My horse like starts fucking picking up speed. And I'm like, oh, fuck, this thing's going to jump this thing. Boom, kadoosh, right over this river. And I'm like, he's like, oh, fuck, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't think it would do that. And I'm like, well, it saw yours do it and decided it needed to fucking hit the jump.
I always tell people I can drive anything, so we're going to test that theory this next coming week.
Well,
see if they have any 5-speed horses with fucking parachute mounts on them.
Hey, put it to you this way. I mean, I survived, and I mean, I've been around horses a lot and rode a lot and done horseback hunts, and you know, so like I've shown animals my whole life and shit, so I mean, I'm super comfortable playing cowboy with horses, but I mean, I took a super hard spill and bounced up. If I was able to do that because of frickin' tie, I mean, you'll be all right, Eric. I got faith in you, buddy. You'll
all right,
be
good,
fine.
Good. As long as you got faith in me, I think I'll be all right.
Here's the thing, Eric, and I'm not trying to scare you. It's like, yeah, one thing to ride. Like, I could ride a horse down a flat in a pasture.
Right.
Well, yeah. This is true. This is very true.
You're in a fucking mountain.
Then you hit a fucking mountain.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember the one day I used to go out, and so in the mornings instead of hunting and whatnot, and even some of the afternoons, I honestly had more fun playing cowboy and running bait and checking cameras and fucking around. Me and Devin were pretty much on horses all day. And the one morning, Kurt's like, "Well, what are you doing?" Because we shared camp together, you know. And I'm getting up, and he's like, "Where are you getting up so early? Like, where are you going?" I was like, "Oh, I was like, me and Devin got to go run bait, you know." And he's like, "Oh, I thought Devin was just gonna do it." I was like, "Well, he was," and I told him I'd go with him. And Kurt licks me. He goes, "So you're just gonna get on a fucking horse or a mule and ride around for fun?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, why?" He's like, "You're a fucking idiot." He's like, "There is nothing." He goes, "There is nothing fun about that animal being on the back of it." He goes, "I don't understand, Clint. I just don't understand."
If I would have had, and I'm not saying it's Devin's fault, it's a great story. I'm glad it happened the way it happened. But if I would have got eased into it, I might have been like, "Yeah, I'll go with you."
Way better. But, absolutely. I guarantee you would have.
At that point, you know, killing that bear the first night, you know, and then I get back and I'm like, "Well, fuck. I'm in Wyoming. And the camp is fun. Like, you step out and you're kind of so just hanging out and you're looking at the mountains. The air's fresh. Dude. It feels good. And I'm like, I'm going to drink Crown Royal and shoot a few arrows and fucking take a nap. Like, I'm on vacation now. You know what I mean? Like, this is what it's about. So that's what I did a lot of times. And I hiked a little bit around camp, but not – I didn't – nah, I hung out. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the success. Like,
well, Clint, you're kind of pissed on my Cheerios because my dream's to share a hunt with Clint Casper, so –
I'm gosh damn, man. I know, dude. It freaking sucks.
You know what we need to do? This is what I'm trying to get the whole WCB crew to. I think we should do like a Wyoming or South Dakota antelope hunt all together.
No, here's what we need to do. Let's go off the antelope, but let's go to Eastern Montana on the 900 series archery tag, and let's go chase hundreds of big goats all over the place. We can run the trucks. We can run tents out of the trucks. Like, we don't even need to go up in the mountains.
I'm in. Don't you?
Dude.
Anything antelope, I'm in. It's so much fun.
Oh, so much fun. And I mean, and honestly, like, that kind of hunt, man, you can cover so much country, and it's just a fun, that would be like a super, super fun week. But I think what we need to do this year is we need to get everybody together and either everybody come to Ohio. Or, I mean, Ohio would honestly be the ideal spot because it's over the counter. Everybody come over and we do, whether it's late season or we do a rut. The rut's just tough because, man, everyone gets on my ass.
I think by the time it comes to that time, we're not going to have any vacation left.
Well, that's the thing.
Eric's got have we full-blown talked about that on the podcast?
No, we have not. I'm expecting a child in October.
dude.
There it is.
There it is.
Hey.
And, like,
me and my
Let
wife
me just
are,
say
I guess.
how excited I am for you guys about that, dude. Like,
maybe she just is.
I'm excited about that.
Oh yeah, it's all good fun. But I think just because we're from the Midwest, like, we pretty much hunt the same whitetails. I think it'd be fun to do like a trip where we could split up. Like, we do antelope's a good one. We can split up into groups, kind of like we did in South Dakota.
Yep.
America, you know, we split up and we all just kind of went after it. And those antelope in South, they seem super pressured this year. They're so wiry, and just a lot of them are road hunted. Like, guys park, hop out, run after them, get back in their truck, go to the next one, run out.
Well, that too, and you guys said it's so dry out there that the grass was only a couple inches tall, you know, where you went out the year before and it's a couple feet tall.
Yeah, and I waxed mine the first day for second stalk, you know. But looking back at that, I'm like, man, I realized how lucky I got. You know what I mean? To get an antelope, one, to have them in the perfect spot to make a stalk, to get drawn, and then be able to settle and squeeze off and shoot one the way I did. But I think a WCB antelope camp would be the shit. But I want to talk to Eric about bear hunting. So, like, what are you thinking about going into this?
I don't know. I'm kind of an open book, man.
Expectations?
I don't know what to expect. Like, the whole camp thing in the mountains, you know, I've been in the mountains, you know, in Colorado and shit, you know, on vacation, but nothing staying in the mountains or
being
in the mountains. We, you know, when we went to Colorado, you know, you drive up, you stop, and you look out at the mountains, but.
And drive back down, yeah.
Yeah, drive back down.
It's Wyoming's a different type of beautiful. Especially where we're going, you know, like.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're flying in this time, which is awesome. But I think you're going to – it's kind of like it's sensory overload.
Right.
I think that's part of the reason why, like, sensory overload, you get there, you jump on a horse, you're in the mountains, you don't know what to expect on your first bear hunt, never hunted bears before, and you're kind of like, Your brain doesn't know what to process first.
I think it'll really set in once I sit down in that tree stand for the first time.
It takes you 2 hours in the stand. As silly as that sounds, because when I got into the stand, by the time I was shook up from the horse, the going up that hill, getting in the stand, and it was kind of just like, all right, you're in Wyoming. Like, you're hunting bears right now. Like, it's something that you've thought about since you were a little kid.
Right, and this is, like, technically my first Western hunt, I would call it. I mean, we've been out west, but not like this far. This the farthest west I've been.
This is west.
You're right.
South Dakota was a western hunt.
Right. But you know, when I think west, I'm thinking mountains and
yeah.
You know, you're beautiful country like that.
Bears, elk, mule deer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the cool thing is just the drive in, Eric, from town, is unreal. Like the 40-minute drive from town to get up in as you're going up into like the little grays. I mean. Big grays, like the whole deal. Like, I mean, I get to go. I'll put it this way: I've been fortunate, and I've got to hunt damn near pretty much every western state besides like your Californias and your Oregons and that shit that's clear over on the west coast. But everything else, I've been in.
Mm-hmm. Oregon's cool. Oregon.
Yeah, and everyone tells me it's beautiful. I've not been there yet. It's on my list. Building points, working on that. You know, it's eventually the next 5 years. I'll get there at some point. But at everywhere I've been, I mean, I've been all over Colorado, Montana, you know, parts of Wyoming, all over Idaho, Utah, freaking everywhere. I don't know if I could pinpoint down a place more pristine and beautiful backcountry than where you're going to be. I mean, that's how fucking cool the place you're going to is. Like, I mean, I would have to say in all the, if I got another 30 years of doing this left in me, 40 years, hopefully, who knows. I don't know if I'll go to many places that I could even say would be up on the list. I can think of one place in Colorado that would be up there that I've mule deer hunted in.
I want to go there with you one of these days, man. After that's the story where you got stuck up on the mountain.
Yep, I was hunting and killing at 13,500 to 14,000 feet, and I mean,
fucking up there.
That would be the only place I've ever been that would be, I would say, probably maybe more pretty or as pretty as where you guys are going next week. That's, I mean, awesome. That's how fucking, oh, dude, you're going to.
It's badass. And you
know, I'm ready
after
for it.
You're there,
every day we get closer, I think about it and get more excited about it.
It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
You will have like this, because we're landed in Jackson Hole. I think Devin or Trey is going to pick us up. And it's,
I think Devin's grabbing you. Devin told me he thought he was grabbing you guys.
I talked to him. He's like, oh, either me or Trey will come get you out. He's like, yeah. Fuck it, I'll come get you. By the way, if you signed up for the Hunter's Box, you got a working class bow hunter koozie this month.
See, look at that. Gosh, dang it.
What a nice guy.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
But the drive, dude, is nuts. Like, across the Snake River right there. And I don't know if you've ever been around the Snake River. It's just, it's gorgeous.
No.
It's unreal country. Like, it's
the
it's
Snake insane. River in Iowa?
I don't know. There was a Snake River in Iowa.
I don't know if there was. Probably. I just made that
I don't know how far the Snake River goes. I was around the Snake River. I worked in Idaho for close to 2 months, and I was on the Snake River like every day. I just would go out to whatever that bridge is in Twin Falls that everybody skydives off, and like Nitro Circus was there and jumped off it. I was right there. There's a sportsman's there's a sportsman's warehouse right there.
Oh, really?
So I'd go to sportsman's warehouse, drool over shit, and then stand over and look over the Snake River as people skydive down into it. It's beautiful.
Don't they do that squirrel flying shit there too?
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't see any of that. I saw people doing base jumping. And
those guys are fucking nuts that do that squirrel jumping.
I know. That's,
dude, can you imagine diving down through the trees? Like, if you even hit a limb, you're fucked.
I feel like I would go to do it, and then, like, it wouldn't work, and I'd just fall.
I feel like you get going, and then, like, you think you get a little too cocky and, like, move your arm one way and just...
What I don't get is they always show those videos of them people flying through the air and shit, but how they land.
Well,
I've never seen a video there where they land.
Isn't it a parachute? No, they have a parachute.
Oh.
They catch you with a big net, like a big fishing
there's
net.
A bunch of there's a bunch of Red Bull guys that do it, but I think some of them have, like... There's some sort of – maybe I'm wrong. I remember watching it be like, there's got to be some sort of motor on them because a lot of them have, like, that jet stream, like chemtrails.
Yeah.
It's because they're going so fast.
Yeah, I don't think they're cutting vapor doing that. I mean, maybe they are. I don't know shit about it. I don't know what I'm talking about. But what's your expectations, Eric? Like, what kind of bear do you want to kill?
I mean, And that's another thing I'm worried about is, like, how to judge a bear,
too. It's the hardest thing.
And I've been watching videos for the last 3 weeks on, you know.
The triangle.
I told you about the triangle, right? Did we go over the triangle?
Yep.
Let's go over the triangle, Clint, because you have more experience with the triangle than I do. But I understand the triangle. I don't know. Do you want me to start with it or do you want to start?
No, yeah, man, whatever. I mean, go ahead, because, I mean, your point of view will be closer to Eric's as far as...
That's a good point. And probably closer to most of our listeners because of...
Yep.
I'm assuming if they're anything like us, they haven't had a lot of Western experience or a lot of bear hunting experience. So I studied, too, going out there because I didn't want to shoot a small bear, and it's hard. It's really difficult to judge because even you're looking at the bear and you're like, I think that's a big bear, but I don't actually know, but I think it is.
Right.
Because it's not like a rack. Like, you can tell 130 from a 170 easily. You can tell 130 from a 150.
From 200 yards away.
Yeah, you know a shooter when you see a shooter.
Right, right.
A bear, when it comes in, and this is how I was programmed last year, in my head, I'm like, don't shoot a small one. I just wanted to shoot a good bear, and I did. But the bear comes in, and you're
You shot a damn good bear.
I shot a damn good bear. I'm not trying to downplay it. But I'm just trying to be humble, I guess. When you see the bear come in, you're looking at its head. I looked at its whole body like, does it look like a fucking big barrel-chested son of a bitch? But then mainly you're looking at its head and basically make a triangle out of its head. So the point of the triangle would be its nose. The bottom of the triangle would be between its ears. And then the sides of the triangle would be the draw from each ear down to the point of the triangle at the nose. Does the triangle, when you look at it, is it all sides even? If all sides look even, like the gap, mainly the gap between the ears, if that looks wide and then the angle to the point, I don't know. I haven't been in fourth grade for a while. it's a – what do they call a triangle that's all even? God damn it, Doug. You're an engineer.
I didn't know. I wasn't prepared for this.
It's a
– a triangle.
It's a triangle. All sides are the same.
Okay.
That's what you want, ideally, or more so. The same. If the top, the space between the ears is not that great and the side lines on the triangle are long to the nose, it's probably an immature bear.
Gotcha.
So you want you pretty much want like a pumpkin head bear.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like a blocky head. You want a basketball head.
Another couple good tips are a big bear's ears will never look like they're at 11 and 1 on a clock. They're going to look like they're at 9 and 3 or 10 and 2. So if you imagine a clock, if the ears would be at, say, like 11 and 1, so the ears are more straight up and down, then they like so the ears are more north and south, and they would be east and west, young bear. A big bear, so when bears get bigger, their skull widens. A big, old, mature boar will have basically a huge crease that runs down the center of his head. And what that is from his skull expanding and almost basically splitting in half in a way, and it forms that crease.
Yeah, and like the muscles basically offset the ears.
Yes, yes.
I've been watching. So, Eastman has a really good video on YouTube about it. I've watched that about 30 times.
Yep. You want the ears on the side. You want that crease. The nose should look very short and fat. If the nose looks super long and skinny, another sure sign of probably a younger bear. And the deal with the body is bodies are hard because
they're all different.
Some
they're
bears
like individuals.
Are short. Some are long, some have a big belly on them, but they have no length. So, like, the head, realistically, will never lie to you. I mean, a big bear is going to have ears on the side, that bigger head, shorter-looking snout, whereas a younger, you know, more immature boar is not going to have that. He's going to have that longer snout. The ears are going to sit up on his head instead of from, like, the side, not going to have a crease. That's you want to look at the head and judge off of that. I mean, in my opinion, that's the only way to do it.
Well, and that's what they were saying, too. Like, if you can see the definition of their nose to their face, like real hard curve, then that's a young bear.
Yeah.
You kind of want that to kind of blend together where their nose kind of blends into their face and looks like it's all one.
I guess the best way to probably just explain it, like as simple as possible, you want it to look like there's a ton of meat on it underneath the skin.
Oh, yeah.
On the head.
Yep.
Just
like
almost like a ball.
Pumpkin head.
Yeah, that's the first time I'm hearing this. So you're basically – want to focus on the forehead, like between the ears and the ears, right?
Yep.
Between the ears, how the ears are sitting, and then
because ears are sitting more like
on the side.
Yeah.
I can pull up a picture here, and I'll see if I can.
Especially the one where it's on the log.
Yep, you can see how his ears are set way off to the side.
That makes sense then.
And
Kurt's bear had a nice crease running down. Mm-hmm. That crease would have got even deeper and even bigger as years went on, but he was getting to the point where that mature age was setting in to where he was really getting that nice deep crease. The ears were on the side. I mean, that's what you're looking for. I mean,
I would consider my bear to be right where bears start to look like that big time. You know what I mean? Like they start to look
big.
Mature.
Yeah.
Real mature.
They start to look mature. He was like right
starting
on
that,
that
crease and everything.
Yep. Yep. I mean, he would be a no-brainer for most people unless you've killed a bunch of giants and you're really going to hold out for something that's just next level, like 20-plus inch skull type deal. Yeah. Anybody else, no-brainer. You look at his – like, I mean, I've been lucky, and my boar from up in Saskatchewan, I mean, he goes 21 and a half or 21 and 3/8, something like that. I forget.
Giant.
I would have shot Kurt's boar first day of the hunt any day, twice on Sunday. I've killed one mega giant, but I realized how lucky and fortunate I was to kill that boar up there. I mean, I was told that day when I killed that bear – you'll never probably kill another black bear this big. Like, I didn't even really understand what I did until I've bear hunted more and been around more bears and et cetera, et cetera. Like that.
Well, Clint, let me ask you this, you know, because that was, where did you kill that bear?
Up in Saskatchewan, almost as far in northern Saskatchewan as you can get.
So I believe Ross killed, when Ross is on the show, Respect the Game, Ross killed 2 20-inch bears on Respect the Game. He was way north Saskatchewan too, I believe.
Yep.
And I don't know anything, and I don't know if I was told this or if I'm just perceiving it this way. Are Canada bears typically a lot bigger than Western bears?
I mean, they're built a little bit different. Like my bear was not super long, but was probably in that 5 to 5.50 range.
Like chunky?
You know, yeah, just a looked like you take like an SUV and put teeth on it. I mean, just
he was a Tahoe, not a Suburban.
Know, yeah, exactly. But his head, you know, his head was the, you know, well, like
great analogy.
For example,
thank you, Eric. Hey, hold on.
Kurt's bears, exactly. No,
thank
that was
you.
Good.
Hey, thank
you know,
here all night.
Kurt's bears a freaking stud and looks frickin' great. And what was it? Little over 18, somewhere close to that?
He's just shy of 18.
Okay, so we're going to call it 18.
Thank you. By the way, I'm working on the bear hunt video now, and there's a segment in there after I kill him, and I'm like, I measured him out with a slick trick broadhead, a 2-inch slick trick. And
oh,
like,
nice.
Just roll it down his head.
I did. Once you see the clip, Clint, you'll remember. I know there's just a ton going on, you don't remember, but there's a clip of you and I talking. And I'm like, I ran a slick trick across his skull, and it was we subtracted from the slick trick measurement because of the skin, the hair, the meat.
Yep.
And I was like, I think he's going to be just under 18. And I go, to be honest with you, if he's just under 18, I'm calling it fucking 18.
No, I remember you saying, and I said you deserve to call it. And I mean, and that's a stud. Like, you kill an 18, 19, I mean, that's a stud. So you get up into, like I said, I didn't even realize how big a boar I killed at 21 and 3/8, 21 and a half, whatever the hell it was.
Until it's a small grizzly.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, that's what you're like, that's what you're looking at. But I would have shot that bear you killed any day, any day. Now, like I said, 90% of the world's shooting that bear no matter what, unless you've got a bunch of 20s or you got a, say you got a 20 and a 21 and you're like, nope, if it ain't 20 plus, I'm not killing it. Okay. I get that. But you get a bear that's 18, especially Western, because, typically you don't get as big of heads and bodies and different things out west as you would, like, up in northern Saskatchewan and stuff. So, but that bear, I'm killing it every day, twice on Sunday, and freaking partying my ass off in celebration.
So, like, when it,
which,
like your
side
bear.
Side note, which we did.
We did.
So, like, your bear, what is that, like, an age group? If, like, it's an 18, do you say that's, like, a 4-year-old, 3-year-old?
I think,
3-year-old?
From my understanding and not knowing a lot, it varies so much. It sounds like to the individual.
Hard to tell.
You know, they told me in camp, like, oh, a 5-year-old bear. But then, you know, Ross was talking about one of the bears he killed, and they told him it was as old as he was, and he was like 24 when he killed it. Now, I don't know if that's true. Yep. He said, I don't know if that's true. They could have just been telling me that to fucking make me feel good.
Right.
And then I've been, you know, I talked to a couple other guys recently about some bears, and like, oh, yeah, they said he was like 15. You know, I don't know. I don't know how that works with bears. I don't have enough experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's different ways to judge off teeth and different things. It's hard to tell. I think mine, gosh, I'm trying to remember. I want to say mine was like 15,
that up,
16, somewhere
in there.
Oh,
damn, really? Yeah. Well, I did have – so when you kill a bear in Wyoming, say we both kill bears, we'll have to go to see a biologist, and they'll pull a tooth.
Yep.
All right.
And then they're supposed to put out that age information. Now, I don't know what happened with, like, COVID, but I've been checking on Wyoming's, like, fish and game website, and every time I type my name in or type my permit number in, it's like, no bear found. So I don't know if they if it was up and then it got removed and then they're waiting for the next year's bears, but I couldn't find my bear. Or maybe it has, maybe it hasn't been posted yet. Or they just said,
so that's like public knowledge that you can go and look that all up.
Well, you'd have to have like my information.
You have, like, gotcha. Yeah, you got to have like someone's information. But yeah, like if you want to personally look at your records of what you killed or like,
maybe I'm typing in the wrong number. I don't know. But when you look at my skull, you can see one of the teeth is
pulled
out of it.
You know how to spell your name?
I might have misspelled my last name. Forget E-I-E-R.
E-I-E-R.
It's a lot of vowels.
E-I-E-R.
E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah,
I was
that's
say,
what I was doing.
Yeah.
Get sidetracked. I drink a lot. But, yeah, I mean, that stuff's so interesting. Bears are just, they're so different. It's like the individual. You know what I mean? Like, one bear could be 500 pounds but not score well on a skull. But a bear could score really well on a skull and not weigh that much.
See, and that's the thing I'm most distracted by is the judging a bear. That's the most thing I'm worried about.
That you should be concerned about that, right. You should be. Because
I mean,
that's any help.
Right? Well, I mean, you should be very conscious of it. And, you know, I know this being said, if you shoot whatever bear you shoot and it ends up being a small bear, no one in camp is going to give you any shit.
If I'm lucky enough to shoot a bear, I mean, I'll be tickled pink.
Honestly, Eric, if you see a bear and you're like, man, I like that bear, and he's not a giant,
kill
but
it.
He's not a
kill it.
Shoot it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what we're going for, you know, kill a bear.
That's what I was going to say. Realistically, man, I would go off of, if you look at it and your initial effect, like in your head, your initial, or not effect, your initial reaction is like, oh, fuck. Like, dude, draw her back and bend the limbs and let's go.
Right. Yeah.
He's slender.
I mean, like, if you're pumped, dude, then you'll be pumped. I mean, it's – you've never killed one. I mean, you know, so it's like – I mean, it's like the guy that's never killed a whitetail and a 110 buck walks in and he's like, oh, fuck, shooter.
Here
like,
he goes. Whereas,
I was going to say, dude, it's – I mean, if you're pumped, you're pumped. Like, fuck all the other shit. If you're like, dude, I love that bear, I'm going to kill that thing, then let's freaking – who gives a shit about the triangle? Who gives a shit about the bot? Like, kill it.
Let her eat.
If you're pumped, man, let her go, dude.
And that's what I'm like kind of thinking. I'm like, is it going to be like a whitetail where you're like, if that thing's walking in and it's getting your heart pumped, if it's a 120, you know.
Shoot it.
Killing the fucker.
And you'll be that way, though. Because the first bear I saw, I've only seen two bears in the wild. And one is one of them I shot. The first one came in, I got in my own head. I'm like, I don't think that bear's big enough because I was so... It's hard to explain. Like, I kind of was, like, in shock a little bit. I'm like, holy fuck, that's a bear. I'd never seen a bear.
Right.
And there's one at 20 yards. And I'm looking at him like, I think that's a good bear. Oh, shit, well, should I shoot this bear? And I always heard, you know, let it get to the bait, do its thing. And I let this bear go to the bait. And that's – and you'll see it in the video when I put it out. I draw back. And you can kind of see me changing my mind. Well, then the bear starts acting weird. And I look over and saw my bear. They end up shooting. And I'm like, well, that bear's significantly bigger.
So now here's a question for you guys. So, like – if there's a bear coming in, he's headed towards the bait. Is he going to stay there a while?
Yeah.
Typically?
Yep. As long as he don't wind you.
Typically, yeah. I mean, and I would play it like you'd play a whitetail. Your first good opportunity, you fucking take it and kill him.
Right.
Like, if you decide as he's coming in, I'm going to shoot that bear. As soon as he gets in, don't be awestruck because, if they catch a whiff, they catch a drift.
Yeah.
You got to remember, you're in the mountains. Your thermals are going to – that. I mean, it ain't like back home where your directionals pretty much dictate everything. Directionals in the mountains, dude, the fuck. They don't mean shit. Your thermals are everything.
Yeah,
so if he comes in and you're like, dude, I'm killing that bear, the first good opportunity you get her drawn back, bend him back, and fucking let it eat because you don't – know if he's going to be there 15 minutes or he planned on being there 15 and then 5 minutes into it, he catches a whiff and that's it. Like, you don't want to sit there and be awestruck.
Yeah.
Like enjoy the moment, soak it in, but don't get to the point where you're watching and enjoying to the fact where shit goes sideways. Then you're like, oh shit, I should have killed that bear. What was I was like too busy watching.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good point too. I let the first bear get to the bait. I didn't let my bear that I shot get to the bait. So that, I don't know if that tells you anything.
Right.
Like, but it helped. I'm glad that first bear came in.
Yeah.
Because if my bear would have came in first, I might not have shot him because I was so
concerned.
That kind
of gave you something to judge your bear off of.
Well, what helped was the first bear brushed up against this tree. And I remember looking down on its head against the tree. And then the second bear, the one I shot, did the same thing. And I remember like the head comparison in my head looking at it going, oh, that's a lot bigger bear.
Right.
Now, I still think our buddy Ty shot a chocolate bear the same night I killed my bear. I think the first bear was as big as Ty's bear. Gotcha. And my bear was the biggest in camp. Ty's was the second. And then Danny and Chance, which you'll meet Chance in camp. He booked the last week.
Is he coming back?
Yeah. Wade from Gator and Chance are on the same camp.
Is Chance the welder guy?
Yeah, you'll love Chance. Okay. He's a wild fucker, man. He's wild.
Oh, dude, he is. He is. He's from Texas, but he got with a chick that doesn't live that far from me, from Ohio, and now they got a little girl, and her name is Jesse, and yeah, they travel the world and weld. Yeah, okay. He's cool, man.
Yeah, he's an interesting cat. Danny Green, shout out to Danny. He shot a bear.
Hell of a guy.
Hell of a guy. He shot a bear the day after I killed mine, a jet black bear, with his bow. And then Chance killed one either the following day or 2 days later with a rifle. And they killed about the same size bear, both jet black.
Yep.
But, I mean, their bears were nice. Right. They weren't as big as, like, mine or Ty's. But, dude, everyone was so stoked for them. That's what I'm saying. Like, you shoot what you want to shoot.
Right.
Like, Trey ain't going to come down on you for that or nobody.
Like, I have no
– oh, no. Hell no.
I have no – that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to shoot whatever I'm comfortable with. And if it comes in and looks good, I'm shooting it.
I would. I fucking would.
And dude, like, speaking on, like, frickin' Trey and Liv, like, you're so lucky, dude. You get to share a camp. Like, there again, of all the people I've got to know and meet and travel the world and do this shit, like, I don't know any two better people than Trey and Liv Heiner. I mean, I am honestly more jealous that you guys are going to get to spend a week with those two than I am about the hunting. Fuck the hunting. Fuck. I mean, no offense to Devin Leonard. Shout out to him. We're best buds, but
I think Devin.
No offense to Eric and Kurt. Like, fuck hanging out with those guys. I'm sad I don't get to go up and hang out with Trey and Liv. I mean, two of the coolest people, the guys, everyone that works up there, Kelby, freaking Charlie, their sister. I mean, that whole group, man, you're going to be with some of the coolest fucking people.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Genuine people alive, literally.
They're very wholesome. And what's cool about them is, they are. They're just good, good people. But Trey alone, that dude, fascinates me.
Animal.
He fascinates me. Dude, when you talk to Trey, I'm excited. You kind of remind me of Trey, actually, when I think about it. Like, we're kind of quiet, like, man a few words. But what's interesting about Trey is you want him to talk. Like, you're trying to dig stories out of him because you know the dude has experienced like a ton of shit.
You're trying to pull out some of the knowledge and just some of the shit that he knows.
Trying to peel back some layers.
What I'm excited about is I talked to Trey last week on the phone and, you know, hey, we're coming in this day. Oh, hell yeah, hell yeah. Hey, I had an idea. We ought to talk about this and this. So I'm like, oh, you're willing to podcast? Because before he was kind of like, he didn't understand it.
Right.
He didn't want to like be thrown on the mic. You know, he didn't want it to be about him. And I'm like, dude, we just want to talk to you and get some
bullshit.
Shit.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Well, now he's like, oh, yeah, we'll do
he's
one.
In it.
Yeah. So
he's in it to win it now.
Yeah, he understands what the podcast is, and he kind of gets it and kind of gets, like, the community a little bit. So I'm hoping we can get some crazy stories out of him.
I'm sure he's got some insane stories.
Oh, dude.
Oh, dude, wait till he tells the wolf in the snowmobile story.
Well, I don't know that one. I'll pry it out. But did he tell he told that one last year, Clint, about him pulling that guy off the mountain by
his
legs.
Pulling the dude like a sled,
Did you hear that, Doug? Mm. I'll summarize quick. If people listen, then you know. But a guy booked a mountain lion hunt, and you had to be like in shape because you're climbing up, you're snowmobiling, and then you're climbing up a mountain in the snow and whatever. I guess he shoots a cat. This is the way I remember the story anyway from a year
big
ago.
Big guy too, like big.
Big guy. He's big like, guy. I guess the way he said it, he's like, I'm a big guy, but I can do things. Yeah. Like I'm active. And Trey's like, okay. So they get up there, he shoots this cat, and the dude's like dead, like exhausted, like stuck on the mountain. And Trey's like, well, shit, I got a snowmobile and dogs and a cat now, and I don't know how. I think
big snowstorm was blowing in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He lays the mountain lion over his lap.
Huge snowstorm.
Yeah, yeah. Lays a mountain lion over his lap, tells the guy to lay down, hooks a rope around his feet, and pulls him off the fucking mountain with a snowmobile.
That's awesome.
It's like something in the Wild West where they're like, chasing the guy with a rope and they wrap around his feet.
He said, yeah, exactly. He said his like jacket was all balled up and his belly is all red because just snow hit. You know what I mean? That
it
feeling?
Could be the worst fucking ride of your
just
life.
Just a nightmare,
probably.
Yeah.
The other guy probably didn't care. He got an easy ride out of there.
Oh, dude, he's got. I don't want to ruin it for you, but he chases this wolf down in the deep snow with his fucking snowmobile, and I'll let him finish it from there. But like, the dude is just an animal on a snowmobile, an animal in the mountains, and just the shit he's done.
You know,
the
I'm doing that mountain lion hunt this winter.
I know you are. I'm pumped about it, dude. I haven't told you this, but I've talked to Trey about it, and I'll just throw it out there now. I might be coming with you to do that.
Fuck yes.
I've been rolling this around because I'll be honest with you. I always said after I went on mine, I'd never do it again. It was probably the most unfun hunt I've ever been on, but it'd be fun on a snowmobile with Trey and like with you, it'd be fun. But like that hunt kicked my ass mentally and physically. Like I've never really had it kicked. For 5 days, just the amount of riding, just the amount of, you know, in New Mexico, I mean, it's dry land. It's just a lot different than like what the snow would be. But, oh, dude, wait. Yeah, you're going to meet Trey, man. And you're literally going to be like, wow, they were not exaggerating. Like, this motherfucker is cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Eric's went to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
We're testing out our new mobile equipment right now, and our battery is freaking dying. Which I guess it should be the way we're running shit off of it right now. God damn it. I was hoping it'd last a little longer. I hope it lasts. If it fails, then I'll make up for it. But I'll be running lots of lithium batteries.
How much life we got?
We're down to one bar.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
I'm concerned about it. Well, I put the battery, the alkaline batteries that came with it in it. And so I was like, oh, this should be good for at least one good hour, 2 hour podcast.
I thought that too.
It is not doing a great job. But I wonder if lithium makes a big difference. I don't know how big a difference it is.
Man, I would think. I mean, I know anything I've ever put lithium in compared to regular has always been like a huge difference. I don't know why that would be any different.
I don't know. Be all right. But yeah, man, I think we're excited. The adventures out there, Double Diamond, Washakie Outfitters, Trey and Liv is.
I'm excited for you guys.
I booked a.
Hope Eric kills a big old bastard.
I know. That'd be awesome.
Oh, right? Dude, just no doubt, man.
I booked an elk hunt there next year, too, man.
I mean, honestly, if I just get a chance to shoot a bear, I'll be tickled fucking pink.
You will.
Well, and that's the other thing that needs stated, too. Bears.
I'm running to the bathroom, Clint, so if you yell at me, I'm going.
Yep, nope, you're good. Bears are tricky. Everyone thinks because they're big target. Like, dude, you got to hit a bear good to kill them. And I mean, like, it's got to be hit good. You want heart, double lung. You got to stay away from that big ass front shoulder.
Right.
They've got such thick hide. If you hit them too far back and they run off, you know, your only hope is that they lay down and die from a gut shot, because with all that hair, dude, there will absolutely be no blood, nothing to go off of. So it's a, you know, it's one of those deals where you want to put, I mean, obviously we all want to put a great shot on every animal, but like you just want to really, really make sure before you release it and let her go that, you know, you got the pin where you want it, because they definitely, they are a tough, tough animal to recover if they are not hit 100%, you know, in the money.
Gotcha.
So I'll definitely tell you that. I mean, you definitely want to hit them in the sweet spot. You don't want to play the let's go back and grid search game the next day, because number one, a pissed off wounded bear is never a good thing. And number two, they're hard to find because with all that thick hair and shit, all the hide and whatnot, I mean, they just don't bleed a lot. You know, internally they do, but actually pumping it out, they don't.
Right. Yeah, I smoked mine. We didn't have a lot of blood.
Nope.
Just because of the nature of it. But you can see when you recover it, you see with the entry and exit, and there's blood just soaked.
In the hair and the fur and everything.
It's like having cotton balls taped around the exit hole pretty much.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, it is, really.
No, it really is.
I don't know, man. You're going to have a blast.
Oh, I'm pumped,
we're going to have a good time.
I'm pumped.
It'll be a full-blown adventure. You'll remember it forever. And by the way, us talking about this, and if you want to listen back to last year's about this time, we had did a bunch of episodes in camp. We're still going to do a bunch of episodes this year in camp, hopefully success podcasts. All this stuff is super attainable. So if you're listening to this, hearing us talk about this camp and all that about Trey and Liv and Devin and all of them being out there, this camp is available to you. You can book this hunt with us. 2022 spots are open. So you have a year to plan. It's between $3,500 and $3,900. Your meals.
That's a steal.
Yeah, you're in beautiful country. There's color-phased bears. You're in the mountains. You're horseback. It's a full-blown, true backcountry adventure.
And you get to hang out with us.
Yep.
You get to hang out with us.
And I will 110%, I will not be missing next year. So new job change this year. Fuck me. I will not...
Hey, nobody can blame you. But I just want to let everyone know, like, this is attainable. It is there for you to grab. If you've never done a trip like this, I mean, Danny last year booked with us. He's like, I'm going for it. And the dude had the time of his life, killed his first bear.
Oh, dude. He still talks about it. I mean, every time I talk to Danny, he still talks about the bear hunt, man. Like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing,
like
man. I just want to let people know that this doesn't have to be this one day I'll do it, one day I'll do it. It's
do it, man.
Well, and I have, like, just a major perspective changes, like with my dad passing away. It's, you know, and not that my dad put stuff off, but it proves that, like, life is short. You could die tomorrow. Like, the more you say one day I'll do it, one day I'll do it,
just means you're never gonna do it.
Yeah, I'll build my points. Oh, I'll do it. Yeah, next year I'll get my points. I missed the deadline this year, but I'll get them next year. Well, next year you miss the deadline, you'll do it next year. And then the year after you miss the deadline and you'll do it. Then you know what happens? You're too old to do Western hunts like this. Because there is a timeline, you know, you get a bad knee. You're not going to have a great time on a hunt like this with a bad knee.
Creaky bones.
You know, you have to think about doing this stuff and doing it now while you're able. And the good thing about it is, you're going to buy a new truck and you're going to spend $600 a month on your new Duramax. That's great. You look cool going down the road that nobody gives a shit about. But you know what happens? You wreck that truck and it's gone. Yep. You know what nobody can take from you? An experience like this.
Yep. So, memories, man.
I booked that hunt next year. I booked an elk hunt with Trey, and I called him a couple weeks after my dad passed. I was going to buy my dad an elk hunt this year for Father's Day and surprise him, and just basically either go with him or buy my own hunt and go with him
because
I wanted him to have a good opportunity. And I called Trey and I said, "Put me down for an elk hunt next fall." So September 2022 was like, "I'm doing it." I was going to get one anyway for my old man. Let's do this. Let's do a memorial hunt for my dad. Let's do a memorial hunt for Clyde. And let's go out there. I'll have Clyde and Papa Dave written on my fletchings when we go on that hunt. And
fuck yeah.
I'm going to do it. So
yeah, it'll be awesome, man.
That's the plan. But the thing is, you just got to fucking do it. Like, you got to just want to go. You got to want to do
gotta
that
dive
stuff.
In.
You got to dive in. It's scary. It's new, but you have to do it.
Yep.
So
absolutely.
For anybody thinking about it, this sounds cool to you and you're on the fence. Hit us up.
We can
talk you through this. We can help you out. We can justify you going. We'll talk to your old lady. I'll have my wife call your wife if that's what it takes. Anything. But if you are interested, hit us up. Hit up Double Diamond. We can get you in contact with them. Just email us. I'll forward it on. But you have a whole year to plan if this sounds interesting to you.
And I think this trip's going to really open my eyes to get out there more and do all that shit.
It's shocking. Doug, you'll have to make it out too.
Yeah, I plan on it.
You'll never look at back home the same again. I'll tell you that right now.
Right.
Every hill you've ever walked up there, you're like,
God, this hill sucks.
That's a big hill. You'll be like, what? That ain't no hill.
that ain't flat.
That's a fucking mole hill.
Yeah. Well, Clint, thanks for calling in, brother. We didn't get to talk about your turkey, but we're going to bounce back and do another episode with you. And we'll talk turkeys, man.
Hell yeah, man. Looking forward to it.
We'll close the cap on turkey season and turkey podcasts with your podcast, and I feel like that's the best way to close the turkey season for 2021.
I like it. I'm pumped about it.
Probably because he's the only one that shot a turkey.
I shot one, you asshole.
You don't.
So I was gonna say, Doug shot one. Yeah, little sneak peek preview. I may or may not have tagged out today, so I we'll just leave it at that.
Clint, I look forward to you yelling at us through the phone about some turkeys.
Yeah, it's I get excited talking about turkeys. It's like
that'd be another
like
fun
my
one.
Prelude.
That grapefruit shandy from Wine and Kugels is on another level.
I told you,
hey,
I
as
told
the kids would
you.
Say, that's bussin'.
That's bussin', yeah.
That shit bussin'.
Close it out with that. That shit's bussin'.
Clint, I don't think you yelled at us that much on this one.
I mean, dude, I got to ease my way back in. I don't want to blow everyone's eardrums out on the very first time. Like I said, I'm just getting a few fingers in. I'm not going to slam it home. You know
Jesus.
What I mean?
Yeah, you just got out of Instagram jail, so you're taking it easy, huh?
I God forbid, I don't want someone to fucking put me down for bullying again, and then I'm off the gram for another 30 days, you pricks.
No kidding. Well, Clint, we might see you here in a couple of days for the memorial stuff.
That's the plan, my man.
If we get
and
time.
And definitely at the shoot.
Oh, for sure at the shoot. If we get time, we'll do a podcast this weekend, but I don't know if we're going to have time, but we'll figure it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thanks for calling in, brother. This is great. We're in the new studio. I can't wait for you to see it.
Oh, fuck. So pumped, man.
First podcast at the bar. We don't have a name for this place yet.
No.
We'll probably name the bar and name the studio. Or do we name the building?
Well, I mean, we can do whatever we want. We kind of own it now.
We do own it. What makes the most sense, Clint? Do you name the building or do you name the studio and then name the bar?
The bar needs a name and the studio needs a name.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, I almost feel like you got to go with the bar name and then you got a studio name.
I'm feeling that too.
But
we can still call it the Buckatorium Bar and then we can call the studio something else.
I'm about to think on this. I need a day. I need to think about this.
I need a day.
This is a big
I've been
decision.
Trying to think of one and I've... Nothing sounds perfect.
It'll come to us on a podcast.
Okay. It'll come. Yeah, it'll happen.
I think we're just gonna get hammered on a podcast.
I think once we're in the actual studio, I think it'll just it'll just show up.
What do we call it? What if we just call it the WCB Studios?
No,
I'm not feeling that.
Okay,
I'm not feeling that.
No. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Is that you, Steve? Is that you, Steve, with a dumb idea? What are you doing over there?
Goddamn.
Wow.
I don't think anyone has called Kurt Steve yet.
I don't think so.
I'm polar opposite of that motherfucker. Better looking, faster, smarter, smell better. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'm not a stepdad. You know what I mean?
I got you. I feel it.
Damn.
Hey, it is what it is,
right,
Doug.
That's right.
It is what it is. It ain't what it ain't.
It ain't what it ain't. It was what it was, as some people say. All right, Clint, you got anything to close with?
Man, I hope everyone's had a good spring, whether it was sheds, turkey hunting, maybe chasing bears around. I don't know, but hope it's been going well. Fuck, I'm just trying to get all my farming in, get everything wrapped up with dad, been able to kill a few birds, been pumped about that, soccer, softball, fucking busy as shit, but I hope everyone's having a good spring, looking forward to getting on a lot more podcasts. We got some big things coming up in the future. We can't really, Kurt and I and the gang can't really throw that out there yet, but there's some cool stuff in the mix that probably in like June, July we're going to release. I think you guys are all going to be happy about. So
yeah, we just got to get the studio
finished. Looking good.
Just got to get the studio
finished. I'm
going to
leave it with that.
All right. You know what to do? Go shoot your bow. We love you.